7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. How you doing? Another day, another big change in the college football coaching landscape. Brian Kelly off to LSU. Well, Lincoln Riley was right. He wasn't going to go to LSU because Brian Kelly was going to go there.
He gone.
Lincoln Riley, of course, off to USC.
He gone.
The ever-changing college football coaching carousel.
Take one day off, and now I got to relearn who's where.
Fresno State coach, Kalen DeBoer, now the Washington football coach.
I'm not even going to bother to remember that one because I don't think it's going to matter in 2 years.
Maybe not.
3 years.
Maybe not. But we talked about it yesterday with Lincoln Riley coming to the Pac-12. He's got a lot of resources out in L.A. He's going to get them back to prominence, and it's going to help the Pac-12. They're good when you look. The Pac-12 is relevant when USC and UCLA are good, and UCLA's better, bowl eligible this year for Chip Kelly, but they never were in the conversation. They were close to being in the conversation for the college football playoffs. Now, I think with Lincoln Riley there, he's bringing the majority of his staff. It's going to be, I think, a major turnaround for USC football. And it's going to be a big, big lift for the Pac-12. He saw the writing on the wall. Buckeye, I mean, he saw the writing on the wall. Going to the SEC with Oklahoma? Nah, I don't think so.
But according to the leadership at Oklahoma, he was on board. He was all in on that move.
What's he supposed to tell them? Because they were all in on that move.
I know.
I mean, what's he supposed to tell them? I mean, that wasn't the definitive reason why he's leaving Oklahoma. But you can't tell me. I mean, what he said publicly is one thing. I think after further review, he went, I'd rather go to the Pac-12, build up an SC program that's going to have a chance to compete for the college football playoffs year in and year out. The end game ultimately would not be that if he goes with Oklahoma to the SEC.
Okay. This may be a hot take, and hear me out.
Okay.
All of the Bob Stoops kids are gone now at this point.
Yeah.
5 years in.
Bob Stoops is now going to coach them in the bowl game.
All of those kids are gone, and they were alarmingly inconsistent this year with all of Lincoln Riley's recruits. Bob Stoops recruits, outside of Jalen Hurts, they were pretty good at quarterback. Bob Stoops and, to an extent, Lincoln Riley got Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray.
Baker's a transfer.
Kyler was as well, I think. Or was he originally an Oklahoma guy? I can't remember.
I think he was a recruit, but I don't hold me to that.
The more Lincoln Riley's guys step up at Oklahoma, the more inconsistent they are. Is he really going to bring USC back to the mountaintop? I have my doubts. I have my doubts of Lincoln Riley as an NFL coach. That's why I was never on the Broncos should call Lincoln Riley bandwagon.
I never was on that either.
I don't know enough about Lincoln Riley yet. He doesn't have that long of a track record. He's never won with his guys.
But it's about getting a program in the Pac-12 to be, outside of Oregon, to be a consistent contender for the college football playoffs. He can get USC to that. I'm not sitting there saying they're going to go, they're going to win the national championship. He will get them back to being relevant and consistent in terms of being that conversation, top 10, top 8, top six, maybe, year in and year out of a contender, because the Pac-12 is the Pac-12. I mean, outside of Oregon, I mean, Oregon State had a nice year, but that's a little bit like Colorado. Once every 5 years, they'll be okay, and they'll contend, and they'll, like, the, you have the, you know, the year of the rise for the Buffaloes, that you're going to, Arizona State, off and on, Herm Edwards is going to be around for another year. They'll be good. They'll be, you know, relevant in the Pac-12, not necessarily the national championship chase. USC has a potential now with Lincoln Riley to be the best program in the Pac-12. And like I said yesterday, sometimes you have to evaluate it this way. Would I rather reign in hell than serve in heaven? Mm-hmm. A lot of people view going to the SEC, you know, with the big dollars will be part of that for Oklahoma and Texas, that's the, you know, the best college football conference in the nation. Nobody disputes that. And going there may seem like a great thing, playing the best competition. Got a lot of eyeballs on you. Mm-hmm. If you're Oklahoma, though, you're used to contending for conference titles and a chance at the college football playoffs. That path has suddenly gotten, you know, in a couple of years here, will get really, really difficult. He's not going to have that problem in the Pac-12.
I don't think they being Oklahoma and Texas, took into account that aspect of moving to the SEC. They just saw dollars.
Saw the money.
And that's fine. Money runs athletic departments. I understand that. And I think they were a little short-sighted, because I agree with you. There are going to be coaches that are going to be hot up-and-coming coaches that they're not going to get, because they're not going to want to go and have to fight that crucible at this point in their career. I don't know if USC is the mountaintop that it was anymore, because I just don't see it that way. And when the SEC expands and eventually, inevitably, the Big Ten answers, if the college playoffs don't expand to 12, I don't know if USC's getting in at 4 or 8 anyway.
But he's going to get them in the conversation again, though, which is good for the Pac-12. This is it's not about USC going and winning at all. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting them to be relevant. And they could. They might have a year where they build this program up and they could end up winning a national championship. It's about improving the profile of the conference. USC, with the recruiting tools at their disposal, it's still an attractive destination. It's not like they're trying to recruit to Pullman. I mean, it's USC. There's still a lot of clout there.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I don't know if Lincoln Riley's that guy. That's my thing. I don't know if he's the guy that's going to be able to do it.
It's going to take a while.
The more I see of his players, the more I see that inconsistent, short leash, adversity, now I want out. Looking at you, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the track record he's building there. And now he's getting out of Dodge. When you can't beat Oklahoma State, you're getting out of Dodge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that decision was already made. I mean, I'd be interested to know.
I know, that's my own personal story.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that certainly didn't help, but that decision, that the ink was already dry on that contract before that game ever took place. He had made that decision, I think, to leave quite some time ago. You know, and now he's got to try to, you know, repair what, you know, is a mess when it comes to recruiting at USC. Look, he's not walking in. It's not like it's turnkey. There are issues with USC. And Mike Bone, who is the CU athletic director, he's the USC AD. You
know, it's not a ready-made position.
No, but it has, like they like to say, a lot of good bones. Mm-hmm. USC's got a lot of good bones to work with. And it's not going to be 2022, all of a sudden USC is in the college football playoffs. But I think with Lincoln Riley, as young as he is, and his name is a draw, and I understand what you're trying to say, that maybe Lincoln Riley is overhyped, but it's the kind of hype the Pac-12 needs. It's the kind of hype USC needs. And I think it's more likely than not that he goes there and he's successful. And my view of successful is he gets USC back into the national playoff conversation every year, that they're at least in the hunt, in the discussion. Doesn't mean they get in, but he also helps to improve the profile of the Pac-12, which they desperately need. So today, Brian Kelly, Of course, if you've not heard, Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame to go to LSU. A lot of debate about who's going to replace him at Notre Dame. Name that Mike Florio brought up, Pro Football Talk. Dream job for one Urban Meyer, who's, you know, we don't know what his contract looks like with Jacksonville right now and Shad Khan, but that, don't be surprised if somehow Urban Meyer's name comes up more strongly.
Linked as this, in South Bend. Yeah,
this comes up, you know, his name comes up more because his name was linked to the USC job initially, and he had to deny it. And he's always stated that the Notre Dame job, one of his dream jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. But
I see two different guys that I would put higher on that list than Urban Meyer. One is Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
And the other, I think...
I agree.
If you're going to strike now, it's got to be now if you're Matt Campbell.
Yeah, now's the opportunity.
You got to go now. You can't have another down season or else your stock is crashed.
Right. I mean, you need to get out now, mm-hmm. out of Ames, if you're Matt Campbell.
Yeah. But I see those two guys as leading the front for both Cincinnati and Oklahoma.
But if Luke Fickell, Cincinnati, goes to the college football playoffs, that's going to, you know, for him to be able to interview and all that with Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity you may have to just let go by.
But if I'm Notre Dame, Luke Fickell took Cincinnati to the playoff.
I know.
Wait for that guy for a month if I have to. If he shows interest. If he doesn't, then, there's a way to do that. To call his agent or whatever. There's a way to do that without... And then you can wait.
But the early signing period, though, Buckeye changes a lot of that dynamic. I mean, you almost can't afford to sit around and wait now.
But if his agent says he's definitely interested, just give him, until whenever you can talk to him.
Notre Dame's got to be okay with, our December recruiting is probably going to take a hit. It's probably not going to be very... And now December is the month.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
that's true.
It's moved from, National Letter of Intent Day, February, to now December. And it changes the time frame coaches get hired now. It's become the crucial period for recruiting. And Notre Dame might want Luke Fickell.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling might be mutual. They may not be able to make that marriage come together because of that reason.
If he doesn't get into the playoffs, then...
I think that he'll be their top candidate, I would assume, and he would have great interest.
He better be.
Yeah, if Notre Dame knows what they're doing...
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you've got some thoughts about the college football coaching carousel today. We have pole dancing coming up later on, top five NFL, top five college football. Our top five favorite Beatles songs. Now, I've always liked the Beatles. Mm-hmm. At one point, they were probably my favorite band when I was elementary school age. And I still have an affinity for the Beatles. I still love their music, but I can't say it's a band that... Because I heard them so much because my brother Bob was such a huge fan.
Right.
I heard them all the time growing up, and from Rubber Soul to the White Album to everything, that I just kind of got burned out on the Beatles. But there's the documentary out, the Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings guy, has put together of their final album and getting a lot of rave reviews. So we thought we'd do our top five Beatles songs because you, even though you love metal, and
I know the Beatles,
and we have an appreciation, and I have probably maybe a greater love of them.
Mm-hmm.
Than you do, but we thought we'd pick our top five Beatles songs.
Like, I'm not going to go searching out the Beatles a lot. Sometimes I will.
Sure.
But if they come on, I don't dive at the radio. I like a lot of the Beatles songs.
Right.
I'm not as conversant in them as other people are.
Sure.
This goober next door, specifically.
You mean Ron?
Yeah.
Husker fan?
Yeah. That was a disaster for them in that fourth quarter. I know, I wasn't
there was yesterday. A lot of speculation why you weren't here yesterday, that it was a... mental health day, and I said no. It was a planned. Yeah. It was a veteran's
planned day off.
It was a vet day. It was a veteran day off.
But man, it couldn't have come at a better time. I was not prepared to do the show yesterday.
I didn't even text you. I wasn't even going to bother you with it.
Not
I didn't
in a good
even.
Way. I might have really messed up JJ yesterday because I blame him and solely him for the loss Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, because of all the stuff he put here at the station, all the little Michigan logos up,
and then. Just by osmosis, I blame him for our loss in Baltimore Sunday night.
Okay.
Because it's the same state, and I have to have someone to blame, and it's him. And then the teams after that.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned yesterday on the show, my friend Husker Craig, we've had this bet, you know, about buying dinner.
Did he get in early? Did he, like, mid-third quarter, send you a text?
Nope. Nope, he did not.
That was when it would have came. And then
I thought about sending him a text. The block punt, I go,
yeah.
The game has turned. Nebraska's going to choke, and they're going to lose this game now.
Yep.
Which, boom, right on cue. Nope, he's a good dude. Now, Kendall even offered for us to pay for our meal, you know, our longstanding bet with Husker Craig. But he's a man of his words. Yeah. Like, nope, I'm going to buy your dinner for the seventh straight year.
I turned it on and I was like, wow, look at this.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, Jim's going to have to foot the bill.
Look, I know.
That blocked punt turned to the dog and said, this game's over.
This game's over. They're going to come back and win it.
Over. And just watching them unfold like that was just.
It's priceless, man.
Wow.
It was priceless.
And then Saturday happened.
And then Saturday, I felt bad for you, man. I did.
I was in here for most of that game. I was in this chair for most of that game. And about mid-second quarter, C.J. Stroud just overthrew somebody. And just the way the play looked, I'm like, we're going to lose this game.
Yeah. The way they were running the football, I'm going, you guys can't stop them.
No.
You can't stop them.
No.
So
Kerry Coombs should be out. The defensive coordinator in name, I can't remember exactly who it is, should be out. Ryan Day needs to bring in stop with this single high safety garbage. It's not helping. It is not stopping anybody.
And Michigan just said
he struggled with Tulsa under a single high safety.
Good luck stopping the run.
Yeah. And we didn't have any.
Yep. They had zero luck with that.
They couldn't stop the run. And, you know, you gotta give the smaller kids one every once in a while. You know? So these kids were seventh graders the last time Michigan beat Ohio State. So you gotta give every generation one.
So we have some big news today. We referenced this yesterday. We didn't talk about it. We just said you have some, you know, even despite the bad football weekend for you.
Yeah, it started off good.
This is a pretty, you know, pretty amazing thing.
Yes.
That's happened for you. Would you like to share?
Yeah, got the girlfriend liquored up Wednesday night and hoodwinked her into.
Got her liquored up? Wow. Well, you told me a far more romantic tale than.
Because.
I mean,
sober. I'm not sure if she's all in on it. You know what I mean? Because she's. I mean, you be had me going.
Oh, that's just so darn sweet.
Yes. So we're planning.
Got her liquored up.
Okay.
So go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Got engaged Wednesday night. That was very nice. Very pleasant.
Congratulations, man.
She still has yet to wise up, you know, and ask me to leave. So we're still working under the guise that I'm welcome there, which is nice. So did that. We're planning on. Leaving the country at my next milestone, and we need the passports and the whole thing. And over the summer, she's like, well, we got to get that out of the way so I know what name to put on the passport application. And so then I told her that when we go, I can't take the girlfriend. I have to take the wife.
Oh, that's just so gosh darn sweet.
I'm pretty damn smooth when I want to be.
I know.
And she said yes, and we're looking at June.
Well, congratulations. I mean, I know that this...
I'm almost a grown-up.
You've mentioned that, you know, this was, you know...
It's impending,
something that was going to happen.
I've had the jewelry with me for 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, every day in my pocket, just waiting. But, you know, don't want to do it, like, at home. Don't want to do it in our neighborhood with the romantic sounds of gunfire and drug dogs in the background, you know. So, kind of had to work it out. But she's the person, like, let's go do this. Why? Then I'm stumped because I don't have a really good reason to go do something random.
Right.
Because I just don't. I go home. I get home 1:30, ready for bed, essentially. Shorts, slippers, don't leave the house. So to try to then change that routine is like, eh. But we were out running errands Wednesday night. Made it happen out by the Botanical Gardens.
Oh, very good. Very good. Though,
you know, I almost swept me off my feet. That's how impressed in myself I was.
I do have to admit, though, I was a little hurt that, you know, how I found out. I mean, I knew you were going to do it, but JJ was the one who...
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it was that little kid.
I know. And see... And
I knew he was the guy that came around.
Because he saw it on Facebook, which you have this... You won't be my Facebook friend.
I've never gotten an invite, so...
Okay, well, I think I mentioned it before, and I always you always say, "Well, you're my boss, and I don't want to."
We have,
you know, and our relationship has grown, you know, kind of passed that over the years.
We have this passive-aggressive standoff about Facebook.
So
you're not my friend. You haven't invited me.
Okay,
all right,
well,
then.
We'll do this again next year. You know, then fine. But it's like I had to hear it from all people. I had to hear it from him.
Yeah.
And I had to respond with the, well, yeah, I knew he was going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I had a feeling from Jade, like, oh, yeah, you're just saying that. But he was quite proud that he was the one to tell everybody. And he was quite happy for you, too. He's quite happy, like we all are.
There's like a third of the building is friends with me on Facebook and either knew beforehand or when I, you know.
Right
after I posted it. So he's the only one out of all those people that were running around telling anybody.
Yes.
Because almost everyone that saw it was here yesterday, except for me.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't surprised.
No,
I mean, it was like, okay.
He's the spoil sport in this whole thing.
Yeah, because I think you kind of alluded that you're going to do it over Thanksgiving weekend. It wasn't, you know, so it wasn't like this big, you know, out of nowhere
like
shock.
People were caught off guard or anything.
Yeah.
The only person that seemed really surprised was Karen. This was perfect. So
it's good.
You know, yeah.
That's the person you want to be surprised.
Exactly.
Well,
so
I'm thrilled for you. Kent and I are just absolutely thrilled for you guys. Congratulations.
Yep.
All right. So that
JJ, suck it.
So that means next June, I need to kind of figure out my vacation a little better, huh?
Yep.
Because you're going to be gone.
Yeah. I wanted to do it like a Thursday afternoon, and she said no. So we're looking at like a weekend.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, congratulations again.
Thank you.
To you guys.
I'm almost a grown-up.
And maybe if I send you a Facebook invite, maybe I'll get invited to the wedding.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. All right. Let's quickly get to.
What's happening?
All right. The coaching carousel in college football continues to turn. Brian Kelly is leaving Notre Dame, heading to LSU. Reportedly, it's a 10-year, $100 million deal for him to take over as the head coach of the Tigers. The Broncos have their biggest game of the season this Sunday night when they play at AFC West leading Kansas City. Denver's a game back of the Chiefs for first place and will try to snap an 11-game losing streak to KC.
I treat them all the same. They're all huge to me. Obviously, playing a team that is talented as they are, that's done what they've done the last 3-4 years with all the games they've won, it's a huge challenge. And one that we'll accept and try and go up there and get a W.
Broncos coach Vic Fangio, Denver hopes to have offensive linemen Garrett Bowles and Bobby Massey back for Sunday's game. Bowles has been on the COVID list with Massey out with an ankle injury. Fangio says tackle Calvin Anderson will miss time with a knee injury, but they hope to have guard Dalton Reisner available. He's dealing with a back problem. Catch the game this Sunday night on the Team Sports Network with kickoff at 6:20. Last night we had Monday Night Football, and last night you had the showdown between Washington, who's won their last couple of football games, squaring off against a struggling Seattle Seahawks. Last night, the Washington football team moves to 5-6. They beat Seattle 17-15. Seattle slips to 3-8 on the season. Taylor Heineke, 223, a touchdown and a pick, but Antonio Gibson powered the ground game with 111 yards. J.D. McKissic had a touchdown run last night. Russell Wilson, 20-31, 247, a couple of touchdowns for a Danger Russ last night. But boy, they could not run their way out of a wet paper bag last night. The ground game really struggled for Seattle. So the Washington football team, they're now 5-6, as I mentioned. Seattle, they dropped to 3-8 on the season. I think increasing the rumors that Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle. All right. Sorry, what?
I'm looking on Twitter. Brian Kelly and Michigan met this morning. And they could have done it twice for the amount of time our first segment has taken. 11 minutes.
Really?
Was the meeting with Notre Dame for Brian Kelly this morning.
That's it. Think we're done.
With as big as that athletic center is, it probably took half the time just to walk to the
it's
office.
Like, okay, Brian, good luck. Adios.
11 minutes.
Make sure you leave your stapler, though. It's, it's university property. Nuggets center Nikola Jokic is back on the floor for the first time in four games and led Denver to a 120-111 win at Miami. Jokic hit for 24 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists as Heat fans booed the reigning league MVP 3 weeks after his altercation with Miami forward Markieff Morris. Morris didn't play due to a neck injury. Jokic was out the last four games with a right wrist injury. Nuggets have other injury problems, though. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Michael Porter Jr. will miss an indefinite amount of time as he officially undergoes back surgery. Reports are that he could be done for the rest of the season. The Colorado Mesa women's basketball team has already secured a Player of the Week honor this young season. Mariah Martine, the grad transfer from RMAC rival Westminster, dropped 23 points against Montana Western Saturday. In addition to her scoring, Martine also recorded 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals in the win. She's the RMAC Offensive Player of the Week as CMU begins RMAC play on the Front Range this Saturday and Sunday at Cobra Christian and Metro State. You can hear both those games, both the men and the women, Saturday and Sunday right here on the Team Sports Network. Montrose, two-time Southwestern League Basketball Player of the Year Luke Hutto, will head to Fort Lewis to continue his career. Hutto told the Montrose Press that a trip to the Skyhawks basketball camp helped convince him to sign with Coach Bob Petrek. Hutto won the SWL Player of the Year Award last season, was named to the All-State First Team after leading the Indians to the 4A state title game. And that's...
What's happening?
If he can score in Durango like he scores in Montrose, he's going to help them a lot.
Yep, he's going to make that team a whole lot better down in Durango. All right, 7:26, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back. 7:29, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Gosh, is this Godsmack?
Yes.
Okay, so I thought this was Godsmack's cover of Good Times, Bad Times.
Yeah.
From the first Zeppelin album, which is a great album.
Great song, really good cover.
Very good cover of it. So, today we have pole dancing, top five NFL, top five college football, or top five, not Zeppelin songs, but Beatles songs with the documentary out from Peter Jackson on the final days and weeks of the Beatles. We're going to have our top five Beatles songs. You can send that to us today. Your thoughts about Brian Kelly moving on from Notre Dame to LSU. Early thoughts about the Broncos Chiefs Sunday Night Football, which we'll have right after Colorado Mesa basketball on Sunday afternoon when they take on Metro State. Can the Broncos go into Kansas City and win? Denver's lost their last 6 in Sunday Night Football. I believe to the Chiefs, I believe they lost their last 6 in Sunday Night Football. I know they've lost 11 straight to Kansas City, and they have not had great luck in Sunday Night Football. So if you got some thoughts on that, text or call us 970-242-1340. Tiger Woods in an interview today, talking about his future. He says that, I think something that is realistic is playing the tour one day, but never full-time ever again.
You're playing golf, and you're going to like it.
But he's
going to
pick and choose, he said, just like Ben Hogan used to do. But that his hope is, and there was the video of him, you know, out swinging the club the other day.
Yeah.
You know, after the horrible car accident that he was involved in. But Tiger Woods speaking publicly for the first time about his future in golf, which... You know, having as serious of a leg fracture, the injuries that he sustained, considering
it's
his age.
Odd hearing him talk about his own golf mortality a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that never seemed to be like something Tiger would admit. That there's an end.
He's invincible.
Yeah.
That he would, like the Terminator, you could not stop him. He'd be 80 years old and he would still be out there
right.
Having top 5 finishes. And for him to kind of, yeah, speak about, you know, that, hey, I'm not going to be the golfer that I was. And this is something where I'm going to have to be very selective of what events I play. I'd assume the Masters would be at the very top of that list every year for him
majors,
to compete.
Yeah.
The majors would be
number one.
Yeah, would be number one. All right. Got one from Mike. Mike sent this text in yesterday toward the that we didn't get to it, unfortunately. And sorry about that, Mike. What about Drew Lock and Case Keenum? I would take Simeon and Keenum off the bench over Drew Lock any day in regard to, you know, who would you want playing right now if Bridgewater got hurt? We talked a lot about Bridgewater yesterday. We had middle school Mike. We had this ongoing debate.
Show-long debate.
Yeah, you know, about he hates Teddy. Well, he hates Teddy Bridgewater's game. He thinks the Broncos would be better if Drew Lock was playing. Then I had Rolled Tacos off the app. Asked me to play because I didn't play the highlight of the Drew Lock interception by Derwin James. I did that for Roll Tacos. I just, Drew Lock's time in Denver's done. And
I said it before, and I will say it until he's gone. There is a segment of Broncos country that would rather lose with Drew Lock as their quarterback than try to win with Teddy Bridgewater.
And middle school Mike thinks that they'd be much better with him right now. And I'm like, well, how much is better? Two games? Does he get? I mean, there are games the defense had not played well, like the Philadelphia game. But, I mean, you look right now, and Mike sent this to me. It's from the NFL website. They have their quarterback rankings for this week that Greg Rosenthal puts together. And you've got, you know, Tolum, TB12, number one right now.
Tommy.
You got, right now you have Teddy Bridgewater, according to him, number 16, which is kind of middle of the pack. I mean, that's, he, you know, according to Rosenthal, he's having his best year since he tore his ACL. I mean, 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
I don't think there's any of the 5 games the Broncos have lost that they win with Drew Lock.
I agree.
I don't know if there's any of the 6 wins that they lose with Drew Lock.
I mean, right now he's ranked ahead of, here's some of the guys he's ranked ahead of. He's ranked ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo, who's got 12 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Garoppolo's numbers are not staggering, but they're not horrible. Carson Wentz, who's really started to turn it around as of late. Your boy Baker Mayfield. Tua. Taylor Heineke. Cam Newton, who had this little hot streak. Ben Roethlisberger. Daniel Jones. I mean, those are, you know, Justin Fields. You know, and then you get down to the, you know, the Tyler Huntleys and the Joe Flaccos. But, I mean, this is what they're getting out of him, what they need. They're getting consistent quarterback play. May not be great. And like I said yesterday, is Teddy the answer long term? I don't tend to think he is. I mean, we debate about that a lot. He's 29, so there's still a lot of miles left on the tires. I think you need a more dynamic playmaker at quarterback. But we'll see where this goes. But it's going to have to be, you get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. There's going to have to be a significant better than replacement. Somebody else's war is going to have to be a whole lot better than what you're getting from Teddy Bridgewater. And that means you're looking upper tier guy. You're looking at, you know, at like I said, the couple of those guys that I just mentioned.
And my question is, what have you seen from Drew Lock this season in his limited time that gives you even that spark?
That you're going to think, yeah, if I put Drew Lock in there, this team's it's an 8-game winner right now.
1 out of every 8 dropbacks, he's taken a sack. And on 7% of his throws, he's got 28 attempts. He's got 2 interceptions. He has almost half as many interceptions in 28 attempts as Teddy Bridgewater has in 340.
We went through all of those numbers yesterday. There's nothing there that makes you go, and again, Teddy's resume is longer, been in the league longer, but there's nothing there that makes you go, well, this is stupid. Why isn't Drew Lock playing?
You could double Drew Lock's QBR. Or his quarterback rating, not the QBR, it's different. But the rating, you could double it. He's still 17 points below Teddy Bridgewater. You have to add 48 points to his QBR to equal Teddy Bridgewater's. And those aren't action sizes. Those are ratings under what you've done in the time you've played. So they're statistically even when you come out to it. And to be that far behind.
I'll speak to one thing. 14 touchdowns, 5 picks. You think you're going to be there with Drew Lock? Those numbers?
You're almost all the way to the 5 picks already. So, yeah.
I'm just saying that historically, there's no way he puts up that kind of touchdown-interception ratio. And then Sunday was, once again, another prime example. Where the hell was he throwing the ball? I think it was Kendall Hinton. I think he was the guy that was the receiver, the intended target.
The better quarterback of that two-man operation.
There was no place to throw the football. Just throw it away, tuck it and run, and just eat it. Make the smart play there. But what does he do? Typical Drew Lock. I'm going to try to make something out of nothing here. I'm going to show them why they were wrong about Teddy starting over me. Look at the play I'm going to pull out of my backside.
He's trying to override 4 months in one throw.
And what happens after that? Chargers go down and score. Throws a pick. Derwin James comes up with the turnover. They go down and score. And you're going, please, Teddy, please be okay. Please be okay. It's about turnovers. That's the number one thing. They don't trust Drew Lock. They don't. And they don't have any reason to trust him. Sorry to say. All right, let's quickly get some nuggets from last night. Denver getting the win over the Miami Heat last night, 120 to 111 in Miami. And last night, Nikola Jokic made his return after missing the previous four games with the right wrist injury, 24 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists. Got booed a lot last night because let us not forget what happened when the Nuggets faced Miami. You had the Nikola Jokic incident with forward Markieff Morris when he shoved him in the back after Morris took a, you know, gave him an elbow to the chops, and Joker ended up getting suspended for a game because of that. Morris didn't play last night. He's out with a neck injury, but big night for Nikola Jokic. Also, Bones Highland played really well for the Nuggets last night. He made his return, 19 points last night in 21 minutes. And after the game, Michael Malone, Nuggets head coach, with some thoughts about snapping the losing streak.
Anytime you're mired in a long losing streak, you know, sleepless nights, you're just, you know, feel like you'll do anything to get a win. And obviously, it's no coincidence. You know, Nikola comes back, Bones come back. So as you get a little bit healthier, and those guys went out and played well. But I'm just proud of our guys. You know, hasn't been easy. But like I said pregame, like I really feel our group has stayed together. You were at practice last night. There's good energy. It's not like guys are jumping. We understand that the injuries are a part of it. And as we get healthy, if we stay the course, good things are going to happen. So, yes, it feels outstanding to get a win. And it feels outstanding to get a couple of our guys that have been out back in the lineup.
Of course, that is Nikola Jokic and Bones Highland. And Michael Malone saying, look, Bones was great last night, but really this was a team win for Denver.
During a five-game homestand, you know, Bones Highland was a huge part of that. I think there were three games within that five where he was creating a new season and career high game after game. He got hobbled with the ankles, and he got right. And last night at practice, he was flying around. And so I was excited about the possibility of him coming back because with his speed and quickness and his shooting ability, he's always a threat. And obviously he was outstanding. In 20 minutes to put up those types of numbers, you know, shows you how valuable he is. I thought Aaron Gordon was great. Obviously, I thought Will and Monte did their job. Faku, 10 points off the bench, 5 assists. This was a team win. Yes, Nikola and Bones came back and were great, but this was a team win against a team that is a little banged up. But it's great to start our 7-game road trip off with a win, and hopefully we can continue that moving to Orlando.
All right, Nuggets snap their 6-game losing streak. They play at Orlando tomorrow night. All right, 7:41, and it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, the Joker got booed in Miami, you mentioned, after the whole Markieff Morris thing. And when asked on if that bothered him, the Joker was kind of short and to the point in the post-game presser.
I play in Serbia, brother. I play in Serbia, so I wish you guys can feel that.
I wish you guys could feel that. It's probably not as bad in Miami with the pastel-colored T-shirts as it is in Serbia, where his own brothers threw knives at him to kill the time, and almost their brother.
So, and no big deal. Right. It's no big deal. No big deal.
It's no big deal, brother.
All right, 7:42. We'll talk college football. Wyatt Thompson, Boise Canyon State Wildcats, our college football insider, joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking college football with the team's insider, Wyatt Thompson, on the Jim Davis Show.
Joining us right now, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, voice of Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Good morning, Wyatt.
Well, good morning, sir. It's almost nothing's happened since we talked last week, right?
Yeah, is there anything that's gone on? Anything like with Oklahoma? I mean, they asked Lincoln Riley if he was going to go to LSU. Obviously, he didn't lie about it for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's not going there, and Brian Kelly is, so we don't know that much that Lincoln was being a straight shooter about that. How shocked are you about Lincoln Riley going to USC?
Well, I mentioned on a local show here in Manhattan yesterday afternoon that I was every bit as shocked by that as I was by the announcement this summer about Oklahoma and Texas heading to the SEC. And I'm being truthful about that. I was just so taken aback by it. But I have to be honest, I was even as much surprised with Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame. And I know there's a lot of money involved here, and he's a 60 or 61-year-old man. That's probably about what this is. But yeah, it's, you know, I thought about when we were scheduled to visit this morning, I saw you on my calendar. I'm thinking, are we going to talk about this thing being narrowed down to six, or are we going to talk more about the wild couple of days here on the coaching front and what it could mean for so many programs and the Pac-12 going forward? It's crazy.
Yeah, I guess, you know, for the moment, we'll talk about the coaching situation because, you know, with Lincoln Riley leaving, that, and Buckeye Boy and I talked about this earlier in the program, that, you know, that Lincoln Riley was, you know, totally supportive on board of Oklahoma's decision to leave the Big 12 and go to the SEC. But I tend to wonder behind the scenes, while he publicly supported that decision, as any good, you know, employee would of a company's decision to, you know, to conduct how they conduct their business, the behind the scenes he's going, it's gonna be so tough for us to be a college football playoff contender. I use the phrase, you know, I'd rather you know, lead in hell than you know, than serve in heaven kind of thing. I'd rather go to the Pac-12, to a USC program that does have a lot of good bones, if we're talking like a house here, a lot of good bones, but needs some work. And he can take that program and have them be a contender for the college football playoffs. Maybe not win it or anything like that, but elevate that program, Wyatt. There are the recruiting, there's a lot, the tradition, there's a lot of things that are in favor of him turning USC around. Plus the fact it's not the SEC. He can have them be the best program in the Pac-12 in a fairly short span of time.
And I would even argue that it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could win a national title at USC. And I say that based on the fact that I think if nothing else, he has proven two things in his time at Oklahoma. One is he can recruit nationally, and I think that's pretty obvious. And then secondarily, he's one of the great offensive minds in football, but regardless of college, pro, high school, whatever, just in football. We all understand what USC has been. It's not the same there now, nor is the Pac-12, but, you know, nothing really stays the same. Earl Bruce taught me that years ago. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. Nobody stays the same, and I fully subscribe to that. I think he's a very gifted guy. I think it's a home run, grand slam, or above grand slam hire for USC. And I think it has left Oklahoma reeling. I'm sure you've read all of the, you know, commits that have opted out. Spencer Rattler's out of there. This is a pretty big blow to the University of Oklahoma, a very proud football team. They'll be fine. They'll go hire a guy. But I think they lost one of the great offensive minds in all of college football here in the last couple of days.
Wyatt Thompson with us today on the Team Sports Network. Bob Stoops will take over as the interim coach. Is there a chance that Bob Stoops goes, you know what, TV's been fun, selling tequila's been fun, but I miss coaching? I get the feeling when you're watching Bob Stoops on the Fox pregame show, he's enjoying the TV stuff too much. He's not like Urban Meyer. It seemed like it was just right, something for Urban Meyer to do until the next really good gig came around. I get a sense from Bob Stoops that he'll do the interim thing. He of course still has his associate, you know, title that, you know, with Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I just don't see him coming out of retirement to take this program back over, though.
I don't either, and I think you are really accurate, at least from my perspective, on what you're seeing and how much he is enjoying the Fox gig. There's really no pressure to it, honestly. I mean, he handled the pressure at Oklahoma perfectly fine anyway. I don't mean that. But there's none in TV, for the most part, compared to coaching. I think he likes that. It isn't the same workload, clearly. I'm with you, buddy. I just don't see him leaving that. I have no clue as to what they're paying him, and he may not even care. But I think he is enjoying it, and I think I'm not a critic necessarily, a television critic, but I think he's done a pretty good job, and I love his enthusiasm.
Yeah, he seems to really love it. I watched it when they were at Norman. Of course, he's back in his old stomping grounds, and and he just seemed like he was having a great time with the guys in the Fox set. Wyatt Thompson joining us today on the Team Sports Network. It just seems like right now, if Matt Campbell is going to truly cash in on a lot of the success and brand building that he's been going through the last couple of years, now's the time for him to strike. And maybe that's the job at Notre Dame if it's not Luke Fickle.
I couldn't argue with that. I'll just simply state it this way. If he is eventually going to leave Ames, the iron is never going to be hotter than it is at this hour. It's just not. Now, the real question is does he really want to leave for a bigger and more prestigious job? I think common sense tells you that the chances are pretty good that he may not want to leave Ames, and I think he's developed, a lot of good things there. But come on, man, how many times does Notre Dame or something like that open that you could potentially have a shot at? I get it. If he's not interested in TCU, okay. Notre Dame's a whole different animal.
Right. Or what about Oklahoma? Oklahoma now? I mean, Oklahoma, that would, no offense to anybody at Iowa State, but that'd be a move up, not sure, a lateral move.
Yeah. Oh, it would be a big move up, actually. And again, it's nothing against Ames. It's nothing against Iowa State or Jamie Pollard or anybody of that. Again, you're talking about Notre Dame and Oklahoma, two of the most prestigious football programs in the history of the game. And they just, this has been talked about too, but how many people leave those kind of jobs? It's almost never, unless they're fired.
Right.
And that's the other thing that makes this, a little bit hard for people to wrap their head around, so to speak.
Wyatt Thompson, Voice Kansas State Wildcats or College Football Insider, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Of course, tonight we'll have latest rankings, college football playoffs. With Ohio State's loss, sorry, Buckeye, I do have to bring it up. But with their loss, you have Alabama that has to fight through four overtimes to beat Auburn. I mean, how do you see the top four shaping up tonight?
Well, I think the given is Georgia at one.
Right.
The other given is Michigan somewhere, either two, three, or four. The speculation begins after that, don't you think? I don't see Alabama being any lower than third or fourth because they won the game. It may have not been the prettiest girl at the dance, but they found a way to win the game. Good fortune a little bit? Sure. But for me, after that, I mean, it's Cincinnati, Notre Dame, and OSU. Oklahoma State. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's what it's going to come down to.
I think, for Oklahoma State, I mean, there's still that possibility. I mean, with the win in Bedlam, obviously over Oklahoma on Saturday, I agree. Michigan's in. Maybe Michigan should be number three. Maybe it should be Georgia, Cincinnati. I know the committee will probably, because it's the American and they're, they're not that dazzled by, wins against East Carolina or SMU, but I think they should be number two. And then maybe it's Michigan, Alabama. Those are your top four.
Yeah. I think Michigan and Alabama will be in there somewhere. So to me, it's Cincinnati, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State. And just for fun, I wrote down the big wins that I believe each program has had. Notre Dame, Purdue and Wisconsin, Cincinnati, obviously Notre Dame, Central Florida, and SMU, and Oklahoma State with Oklahoma, Baylor. I don't know how most people would dissect that. I think you could probably make an argument for all. Maybe the most impressive, though, is Cincinnati winning at Notre Dame, but this is the same old argument that we've had for weeks. Have they done enough? Have they done enough? And I think, big wins against SMU and Central Florida, two teams that are 8-4. They've also, I wrote down that they've beaten basically four teams that are bowl eligible. Is that enough? I guess we'll find out.
Wyatt Thompson joining us today on the Team Sports Network. So you have Michigan taking on Iowa, who, thank you very much to the Golden Gophers, by the way, to get Iowa into the Big Ten title game. I think Michigan probably wins, but I also think Iowa's defense, it sets up better than Ohio State which had the dynamic offense, not the great defense. I just think Iowa will have a shot at maybe sticking around in this football game, maybe pulling off an upset. Wyatt, with about 90 seconds here, what if that happens? What if Michigan loses? What does that do to the rankings?
In my personal opinion, it would pretty much guarantee Cincinnati and maybe OSU if they beat Baylor.
Right.
Again, I'm having a hard time thinking that they won't find a way to get Alabama in there. They're 11-1. Will they put him in at 11-2? I do think it's a possibility. I don't think it's a lock, but I think it is. Even though they won the game the other day, it may hurt them a little in the committee's eyes, but they're still Alabama, so I'm hard-pressed to think they won't be one of the four. I think the battle is for 3 and 4 with Georgia and Alabama in, but I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Hey, Wyatt, I always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Always great insight. And hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, buddy. Looking forward to it.
All right, take care. Wyatt Thompson, voice of Kansas State Wildcats, or College Football Insider, with his thoughts about the coaching carousel, some of that with obviously very direct impact on the Big 12, and his thoughts about tonight's rankings for the college football playoffs. All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy today, text or call us. A lot of things to comment on. Pole dancing today, your top five in the NFL, top five college football, your top five Beatles songs, top five favorite Beatles songs of all time. Also today, early thoughts about the Broncos and Chiefs. Can Denver get it done in Sunday Night Football in KC? They've lost 11 straight to Kansas City. We'll talk with our Broncos insider, Mike Rice, 850 KOA, coming up at about 8:20 this morning. So get some thoughts on that today. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, and also Mav Day coming up later on this morning, and Stadium Cinema next hour too, so stick around for that right here on the Team Sports Network.